of God, the lover, the beloved, and the love sharer.
Amen.
Following the great 3 days of Easter, we find ourselves among the various accounts of Jesus' post-resurrection appearances. These come mostly from John's Gospel, but today, included in our Gospel portion, we have Luke's account of the experience of two of Jesus' disciples, perhaps not among the 12, but certainly part of the larger 72 group that followed Jesus. And they are walking on the road to Emmaus, a village not far from Jerusalem. Luke 24, 13 to 35 is one of those iconic gospel passages shaping Christian spiritual imagination down the ages. Emmaus is a name deeply associated with places of spiritual seeking and retreat, a name that Christians automatically associate with spiritual journeying. The post-resurrection accounts from John pose for us a direct challenge to our received Newtonian understanding of the way the laws of the physical universe work. In John's accounts, Jesus walks through walls, through locked doors, appears and disappears. Luke's account relates an experience that offers no such challenge to our Newtonian rationality. Luke's post-resurrection appearance is immediately relatable because at its center is the all-too-familiar experience of minds clouded and hearts set on fire. Jenna Smith, in her article A Blaze of Glory, which appeared in the recent edition of The Christian Century, alerts us to the Ukrainian artist Ivanka Demchuk's painting, The Road to Emmaus. Demchuk's work is influenced by the techniques of iconography, and in the painting we see Christ in white facing the two disciples on the road. She layers gold filament in a way that draws the eye immediately to the disciples' torso region, portraying the most significant phrase in the passage, "Were our hearts not burning in us as he spoke to us?" And Smith comments that Demchuk's use of gold against black layers of white effectively lights up the scene as if there was a ball of embers in the disciples' chest. She says, "I love the image, both in the text and in the artwork, of hearts burning within us." And I posted the image of Demchuk's painting on the website with this sermon. We relate to Luke's story because, whether we know it or not, each one of us is traveling on the road to Emmaus with minds crowded with grief and hearts on fire with yearning. For the two disciples traveling to Emmaus, it had been a long and bewildering day. The Lord's death, yes, can it only have been on Friday? Time seems to have stood still. The Lord's death, and now, first thing today, some of the women reported the disappearance of Jesus' body from the mysteriously empty tomb. The succession of these events is too great for them to bear. And faced with the experience of too huge and overwhelming an experience to process, their minds shut down like a computer hard drive crashing. Numbed into mindlessness by grief, all they can think of to do is to physically react and to get as far away from Jerusalem as a day's travel can take them. Now, viewing this story from the sidelines of history, from our 21st century psychologically informed perspective, we're curious about the dynamics of the experience these two disciples are having as they walk far away from the city, as fast as their legs can carry them. Along the road, they encounter a mysterious stranger who asks to walk with them. He's been following them, perhaps, at a distance, and having caught up with them, he asks, "What are you discussing while you walk along?" Oh, it's bad enough that this stranger intrudes upon their grief, but he further burdens them with his dumb-assed question as well. Cleopas, one of the two, turns to the stranger and in a voice dripping with incredulity demands, "Are you the only one in Jerusalem who does not know what has been going on these past days?" And as if to rub salt into the wound, the stranger simply asks, "What things?" And the disciples commence to pour out their hearts. The first stage of articulating their grief by talking to someone about it. And they relate their grief and bewilderment, the devastation of their lost expectation. "We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. And now the worrying disappearance of Jesus' body, with only the witness of the women, unreliable in itself, because as you know what women are like, imagining all sorts of fancies. I mean, women being addressed by angels, really." And so we can picture them standing dumbfounded when the stranger rebukes them. "What fools you are! Not only fools, but faithless fools." And he begins a process of reconstructing the broken chains of memory, relinking for them associations which, like broken links on a website, have stopped connecting to the source of meaning. Now, today we recognize that the disciples are suffering from post-traumatic depression, a state of mental shutdown resulting from an overwhelming experience of trauma, in this instance, grief and loss. And Luke relates that Jesus, beginning with Moses and the prophets, interpreted the things about himself in all the scriptures. And in the guise of this stranger, Jesus helps the disciples to begin to process their grief through a process of remembering. When hyphenated, the word "remember" reconnects more accurately to the deeper meaning that it conveys. Re-member. To remember is to put back together, to reconnect broken fragments. Fragments of memory. Reweaving them again into a meaningful picture of the world. There's a fundamental law of psychological life that the mind only recognizes what it already knows. The function of memory is to remap upon our present time experience. That's what leads us to the recognition of what's happening for us. And all forms of trauma, of which grief is but one, interfere with this pattern mapping of memories onto real-time experience, which enables recognition. In other words, in the act of remembering, we see how depression depresses certain chains of memory capable of restructuring pain and loss, preferring instead memory chains associated with hopelessness and helplessness that simply confirm our current experience of suffering. The disciples had seen Jesus' death and burial. With his death, all their hope had died. They could no longer access the stored memories of him to map onto their real-time experience. And cut off by grief from their memories of his teaching, of all that he had said to them, they couldn't see Jesus walking alongside them because their minds had no way of recognizing him. And as the three men journey on the road to Emmaus, something deeply therapeutic begins to take place. Grief has traumatized them, preventing remembering. They don't recognize Jesus because they've lost access to the memories of him that could reconnect them to his resurrected body. And gradually, with each step along the road, as the stranger, beginning with Moses, interprets the things about Jesus in the scriptures, they begin to remember. A process beginning in their bodies, enkindling their hearts. And by the time the stranger leaves them, they can turn to each other exclaiming, "Were our hearts not burning within us as he was talking to us on the road while he was opening the scriptures to us?" And there's one more thing to notice about this story. When the disciples reach Emmaus, they invite the stranger to stay and eat with them. "Stay with us, for it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over." But it's not only the day that's nearly over, but the therapeutic process of reconstructing the broken links that allow for the process of remembering, allowing them to map memory onto their real-time experience. This is also now complete. And in response to their invitation, the stranger takes bread. He blesses it. And he breaks it. And he shares it with them. And Luke tells us that then were their eyes opened, and they now correctly recognize the stranger as Jesus. Process complete. Memory pattern matching onto real-time experience has been rebooted in them. And Jesus now vanishes from them. Now, every therapist working with serious trauma knows that it's action, as in controlled reenactment, rather than words that matter. over the sharing of the bread, Jesus reenacts, reconstructing the last broken links in the disciples' fuller memory of Jesus in real time. The road to Emmaus is the symbol of our spiritual journey. Like the disciples, we make this journey traveling in one another's company. Like the disciples, we walk the road to Emmaus with minds clouded by emotion and distraction and forgetfulness. Memory templates of doubt and fear, rather than hope and courage, map onto our real-time experience. And consequently, like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, we fail to notice the ball of embers, our hearts burning with yearning for something more. If we don't see Jesus, maybe it's because he's not who we're looking for. Until, like the disciples, we recognize him as he blesses and breaks and shares with us his bread of life, until then, we cannot see him. Only then are our eyes opened in recognition in his actions of his divine presence with us.